Good morning. Today is Wednesday, the 26th of... Wait a minute. It's not the 26th. It's the 28th. I advanced the calendar in here a couple days early and was looking. Winston threatened me about that one, so I guess points for him. Well, your computer is working nicely also.
Yeah.
All right.
Today was my mom's birthday. My computer's like going crazy. Goodness. I don't know why that's happening. Anyway, it's going to be one of those days, I can just tell.
All right. Well, hopefully we can get through this first part here easy for you. Are you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
Yep.
Why do we say kowtow?
Kowtow, because I know you kowtow. Because kowtow sounds like, you know, you're giving in to something. Not like you're giving up, but maybe it's because when cows are being on a lead, their heads are down. So it has something to do with a cow's posture, would be my guess.
Nice try. Nah.
Yeah.
Required to be ubiquitous towards a foreman or forewoman or supervisor, some persons will walk off the job. Others will allow their pride to, well, swallow their pride and kowtow. Anyone who follows the latter course imitates, after a fashion, actions that were standard in China. Jesuits and other explorers long ago penetrated the mysterious East. Newcomers learned that in order to stay there, they'd better observe some of the Chinese customs. One of the most important was the ritual of kowtow, or kowtow, later referenced in Western culture as kowtow. In it, anyone brought to the presence of a person of higher rank knelt in formal fashion and touched his forehead to the floor or ground. Physical kneeling never quite caught on in present-day American business, industry, family, or community life, but plenty of people know what actions, words, and tones can be used to perform and to signify kowtowing to another individual. So, there you go. Had nothing to do with moo.
I just always thinking about steaks still. I mean, pouring bread to think about beef.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, next hour, you guys have kind of got a little interesting situation with the Nordic Aquafarms. I read a little bit, not too much, because, you know, I don't want to talk out of school about that situation. It's an appeal coming out of the Planning Commission. How often does that happen?
Well, first, let me just say you'd be shocked if it actually. I'd be shocked if it was only the next hour, because I suspect we're going to have another. It could be. We could be in there till evening.
Well, let me just say beginning within the hour.
At the beginning hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it all depends when it comes to projects being appealed. We do get a lot. Most of them are cannabis related. Those are what most of the appeals are. This type doesn't happen that often. It's the last time was probably, I don't even know if it was an appeal. It was the hearing on, Terragen.
Yeah, the windmills up on the ridge, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, something like in this magnitude, it is a very large project. It's taken many years in development. So obviously there are a lot of people invested in it not both sides. There's just a lot of different sides, you know. There's a huge interest in the community. And appeal is a process that people take when they're not happy with the original decision. And so we find ourselves here in this case. There's actually, I think they have 18 causes. They don't have everything. Everything's at the podium and not necessarily in front of me, but there are a lot of concerns that had been brought forward by a few different groups. And so, you know, those are what we're going to be talking about today and figuring out how to move this forward or not.
It was interesting for me because those that tend to be on one side on the environmental camp are those that really see that this was a pretty positive thing, and those that were business, I sensed, were pretty positive about this. But some of the arguments that I saw that were kind of like the major ones, perhaps, water usage. You know, as John Friedenbaugh pointed out, wait a minute, you know, this is like a third of what the pulp mills used to use. This, no, that's really not that shouldn't be a concern because of the historical use and the historical precedent. Traffic on the roads. Well, I haven't seen too many chip trucks and logging trucks delivering to the mills lately that infrastructure was built and designed for. So, you know, some of those things that get thrown out, how do you determine whether or not this is just throw it all against the wall and see what sticks versus what is significantly impactful change to a project or to a community that has a project possibly locating within?
Well, you know, it's like I said, what I say right now, I mean, by tomorrow morning, you know, you could ask me and I might say completely
oh, sure.
Something different.
After the battle or even later this morning with it. Yeah. That makes sense. But at this point...
There's several causes of, that have been brought up by a few different groups. Several of them are saying, you know, that the CEQA analysis wasn't done correct or far enough. And, you know, what happens sometimes is what a group or somebody thinks is an appropriate, you know, large enough big picture look at a project, some people go, it's not big enough, right? So they want to maybe see more things that have been addressed or alternatives that can be brought up. This is what is kind of interesting about this one, and I've had a few conversations with Director Ford, is a lot of what was brought forward is more a concern that seems to be about whether the company can actually pull this off and make it happen. And when you look at what we're doing, is we're making it's basically a land use decision for us. Our job is not to say if someone has a financial viability to make something happen.
Right.
So some of what the conversation and argument has been is that, well, they don't have the viability, there's not enough financial information. And when you get down to it, however, you know, the most basic level, I don't, you know, somebody could change my mind today during the conversation, but when it comes to that piece, I don't think it is the county's responsibility to be able, I mean, that to go through and check someone's financial viability.
That's not what the environmental stuff is. That's not your guys' determination. That's
private
investor's position. They can go out and get $1 billion tomorrow and everything is smooth sailing. So, anyway.
Well, and you know, this is actually a risk on more of the Harbor District is taking on because it is their property.
And we'll talk about that when we come back. It's 8:19.
All right.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Virginia, when we broke away, there was a comment made that there are segments in the community that are in opposition to the Nordic Aqua Farm project that are concerned about the financial viability. And for a lot of us, and you know, maybe it's a lot of me and weans rather than you guys and gals, you know, if the site gets developed... And let's say it doesn't work out. Well, the site's developed, and it's further along and more marketable for the next fella or the next gal or the next interest and makes it even more attractive. It's kind of like economic development, even if it doesn't happen. So does that make sense, or am I missing something from that perspective?
Well, no, I think it makes sense. It's interesting, though, when you read things, you may see one thing, and someone else sees the very same thing they're looking at and interprets it completely differently. And in this case, you know, part of part of what, you know, looking in the staff report from what we read, you know, it's a big win just to get that property cleaned up because it is, it's dirty, right? You know, I mean, it is a brownfield. I think it was worse than that, a Superfund site. And so arguably that is, I mean, huge.
But yeah, and so, those putting forth the perspective of environmental concern, I would think would be doing handstands that it was going to be taken care of and taken care of in a very timely fashion.
Well, and there could be some groups. The ones that we've heard a lot from a group called Humboldt 350 or 350 Humboldt, their concerns are climate change, not as much, you know, because there's a lot of different environmental type concerns, obviously, that can be out there, but a lot of it is climate change and concerns that with the type of project that this would be and with the amounts of, you know, refrigerant or multiple other things that it has not been sufficiently addressed in the CEQA document. And, yep, of course, it's up for interpretation with people. What they believe isn't, staff most likely believes is.
Well, and my question also, I guess, would be, if I was staff and, you know, with attitude, I suppose, is, okay, here, this is what is presented. This is our finding. What do you perceive would be acceptable? I mean, if they come back and say zero, well, that's just somebody trying to kill a project. I mean, that's not anything that's realistic. Well, I would suspect that there are more problems now with the site and association with warming and climate change or cooling and climate change than there is with a project if it's already met the standards and everybody's kind of vetted it.
Well, and but you also, you know, it's not just the environmental groups. I mean, there are some of the fishermen, people involved in the fishing community are concerned. Some of them have different degrees of concern, though. I mean, I think there's some that would, you know, not in favor of anything. And then there's others. Really, I think we got an email from Ken Bates, you know, a very reasonable person. He's like, well, you know, they're looking for the outfall to be in a different place or the seawater intake to be located differently. And, you know, those are, as we move forward today, taking comments like that for me and asking Director Ford and his team, it's like, so how does this look like? What's, you know, is there a possibility? You know, I mean, part of it is, you know, we get all this stuff, all these emails, all these documents to read. And, you know, I think all of the board members really do their best to do as much research and homework as we can. But there's always, you know, I'll go in there tomorrow and something will come up and it's like, hey, wait a minute, I have another question I hadn't thought about. So, you know.
So with yesterday's supervisor meeting, what was the tenor? Because, I don't know if this was discussed or referenced or during the.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Was there a level of, well, okay, let's see what they bring forward? Was it, there better be some new information here for us to overturn the planning department and the planning commission's findings? What kind of did you have?
Wait, you're saying yesterday?
Yeah, Tuesday.
Oh, that one. Well, where does that fall with today?
If there was any connection between the two, or if yesterday during the supervisors' meeting, there really wasn't anything that was discussed topic specifically.
No, this is completely, we dedicated a special day to this item. And part of it was because it was appealed to us and you have to get something done within a specific amount of time, I think 30 days, and we're brushing up against that due to some scheduling complications. But it's, it is interesting too, and I think I probably talked about this with one of my visits with you in the past. My question was, you know, I'm surprised this got actually appealed to us because my understanding is there actually could have been an appeal straight to the Coastal Commission. And so,
do they just want more ball games so that eventually they're going to win one?
You know,
that's a strategy, certainly.
Well, yes, maybe, but at the same time, you know, that would have been a way to shortcut because then it wouldn't come back to us. I mean, I'm glad it's coming to us because I think it's important that we get to weigh in on it. But it's
part of the CEQA is that the references made for the Coastal Commission? I mean, they obviously have jurisdiction there somewhere.
Well, and they're gonna they you know, anything can still get appealed to them. But what I'm hearing in these, some of the, only actually, there was one email or letter, I think it was email yesterday from a person who, I won't use their name, someone who used to be a Fish and Wildlife in other counties, but, and it was definitely hinting at, you know, if we do, you know, if this project moves forward, there's going to be more legal complications, you know. So
basically, but that's not a concern for you guys, though, or
no,
shouldn't
no,
be.
No, it's not. It just says, it just shows, it's just an indicator to the community that even if the board goes forward with it,
it's not done.
It still has a huge road, most likely.
Well, let me back down from my emotional little spot right now, and we'll take a break and come back. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass. I'm down a couple notches, but not a heck of a lot. Virginia, as you look at this, I mean, for somebody to threaten something to a decision maker, I would think would be, let's say, inappropriate at the least, and something more than that if you were going to get more wound up about it. I mean, if you're going to appeal it, great, appeal it. If you don't like it, appeal it up the ladder. I mean, that's the way the system is set up. Rather than sharing something like that in advance as a way to, an attempt to influence the decision that would be made. I mean,
well, and this person, I can't say that they were associated with any of these groups necessarily. You know, the ones that had actually filed the appeal. So
does it matter?
No, it doesn't. I'm just saying that it just shows that. While someone may be bring an appeal, there's other people who actually, you know, would almost prefer the, you know, the legal course. And it's unfortunate because.
Well, this is what's killed projects in our area in the past. I mean, let's get pretty serious and direct with this stuff. The attitude that pops up, we saw it. Most recently, you know, the LNG project, okay, Coos Bay took it, and there has been no issue, you know, and they're benefiting from it. We've had other references over the decades here of things being shot down because of, and let's just call it special interest groups, defined differently on different projects, but special interest groups that are looking to maintain a certain degree of influence in the community. You know, at what point do you, as someone who's gone around the corner, not around the bend, around the corner a couple of times, and you know these things, kind of say, you know, guys, you can do what you want to do, but don't threaten doing what you're going to do. Just do it in the proper process here, and if you're going to appeal it, then wait for us to make the decision, and if you don't like it, appeal it. You don't have to tell me that you're going to be doing that.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. You mentioned recently with Calpine, it's like, you know, that's going back to when, that's like in the early 2000s, I think.
Yeah. Still within.
Oh, I know. Still, I mean, in prehistoric, you know, I mean, if we're talking like eons and stuff, it was recently. To me, it just feels, I mean, it's still very vivid in my memory. Just not even so much for the fact that it, you know, that people spoke against it. That one is bad because we were getting threats. You know,
yes.
So when you mentioned that one, thankfully, I have to say this one, I mean, the threats that we were getting weren't just legal. It was like threats against us.
Yeah, home, at home, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so you know, this isn't raising to that level. You know, I think everyone with most people have been very respectful in saying why they perhaps think it's not a good project. And, you know, they bring up different points that are worth looking at and, you know, going
but they,
through.
Haven't they been looked at already by the Planning Commission and by staff?
Yes and no. You know, we're hearing this, what's called de novo, because it's been appealed to us. It means that we're not just, and we don't have to just go by what was in the record that had been set with the Planning Commission and everything else. This is like a brand new thing. So, yes, new information could be coming forward. I mean, they did send a large packet that I know staff has been working on responses to, if it hasn't been something that came up. But it is one of those appeals are something where a lot of different information can all of a sudden be presented, and then it's, you know, it's up to us to decide, you know, what is the magnitude of that, and, you know, staff is going through. It's, and, you know, who knows what might be said, you know, actually during the meeting of information we don't even have yet, you know.
Are you fearful that next hour you're going to start to get the circus routine that has certainly occurred on a regular basis? Are you the chair this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I am. Okay. And, you know, I mean, I'm going in with a really, my plan is to have a very structured process here. And, of course, I could find out, you know, 2 hours from now that I was totally, totally wrong in guessing how all this would go. I mean, as far as process. You know, I people have been fairly respectful, you know, and I also, anyone, if there's antics, I guess you might say, in the chamber of any organization that's going to try to disrupt the meeting, I will clear the room. You know, I have no intent to put up with nonsense. If it is, you know, if people are coming in and having, you know, coming and speaking calmly to us about, you know, their concerns, it'll be fine. It'll be long, you know, and it's going to be a lot of information. I haven't seen anything from any of these groups that suggest anything. Well,
more
maybe
that.
One. Yeah. One commenter, it seems like they've all been respectful, you know.
Okay, and then, you know, well, hopefully you won't need to have more than one deputy in the building there.
You know, I have a button, though. If I need one, I can call.
Yeah, okay. KINS, News and Information Time, it's
8:45. Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to 7 cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass about the Nordic Aquafarms, I guess, special hearing would be fair to call it, appeal that'll be happening next hour in the supervisor's chambers. Virginia, earlier you had mentioned that the Harbor District has also weighed in and that they are part of this process. Did they have the opportunity to vote on this project, or are they just the potential landlord that would be a beneficiary of this development?
Yeah, no, that's a good question, because a lot of this obviously has been happening in their world. I know they're involved in obviously the property. I mean, they've been involved in acquisition of the property, so I would suspect that they had their own version of whatever it is of voting. Perhaps it was just a decision on the
an advisory or something. But didn't get that as part of the documents.
Well, no, not. I mean, there's another, you know, there's hundreds of pages here. The Harbor District is one of the they're a partner. That's also involved in this. They'll be presenting with us tomorrow. I mean, to us as well.
So they're
tied very closely. You know, they are working very closely with the Nordic team, and so they're partners. I think I'm pretty comfortable saying, and obviously this is very important to them, and they worked really hard on this. I remember the first time I was at a meeting about Nordic. They had come and we were just meeting with people. So this is a process that's been in the works for a while.
My recollection is that these folks from Nordic have gone really way over the top in doing a lot of the EIR, the reach out, the additional studies, so that a lot of these questions would have been addressed in advance. Is that am I thinking of something else?
No, I think they did. My understanding is they went beyond what they'd be required to do as far as studies. I have to be honest, and one of the things I think that causes some concern with people is, you know, they did have the quick departure of their two head people. That had a few people concerned about, well, what is really going on? But then again, we are not making any decisions on what that piece is. We are a land use decision. You know, this is...
Yeah, you're not a business consultant.
No. So
you like that one, huh?
Yeah.
Go ahead. You can use that next hour. Pakstein says you're not a business consultant here, guys.
Yeah. Well, it should be. You know, tune in at 6 o'clock and see if we're still in there.
Now, if somebody wants to attend, can just regular people that say,
oh yeah.
Just show up? Do they have to speak?
Yeah. They don't have to speak. I mean, obviously, the board chambers is only so big. There will be public comment a portion of the day. We're going to be hearing a lot of staff report and reports from the company the appellant and the company that will get us, you know, the regular public comment period won't be happening most likely till like late morning, if not early afternoon. But definitely, people at home can be Zooming in. They can watch on the video and then call in if they want to comment. And people can come in. There might be a sign-up sheet. Actually, I haven't really figured that part up yet. But it's, you know, we're going to try to make it an orderly process.
Are you also going to inject something like, you know, if you're just supporting somebody else's position or reiterating, just say that, don't repeat the entire thought process so that you can punch this thing through in somewhat respectful time?
I would like to think that worked. I have never really had that work very well. I've had some people be really good with that. I think what happens is people are very, you know, well, they're nervous to be there, but they're planned and they want to say their thing because it's important to them, even though it would be much simpler and get us to the decision-making point if people could say, well, I agree with what John Smith said.
Right. Well, and the other thing, you know,
nature doesn't let that happen.
Are you, I guess this is another pet peeve of mine, before a vote is taken or a motion is made, everybody weighs in with their opinions on the electeds. I've always been stunned that how can you comment on something that hasn't been done yet? Make a motion, and then if there's any comments, then let everybody sound off and do what they're going to do instead of lip off early, wait for the motion, lip off again, then make the vote. You know, it seems to be an elongated process that way, that the redundancy, I think, tends to be an issue.
Well, and it is, everyone wants to say their piece, and sometimes it's multiple times, and sometimes it's, you know, would it be nice to say, okay, can I hear something new from you that you haven't said already?
Exactly.
But, you know, working with a bunch of elected individuals, you know, it's not as easy as it seems like it would be because, and, you know, sitting up there too, as people are, it's an anxiety feeling because you're making a really big decision and you want to make sure that your point was heard, even though it's probably been heard, but, you know, yeah, it's sometimes, yes, we do, we make meetings longer than they need to.
Yeah. So with this at the conclusion, you guys are going to, and gals are going to take a vote, either thumbs up or thumbs down. I would suspect that regardless of how it turns out, it's going to be taken to the Coastal Commission, either to appeal what the county's decision was not to accept it or to appeal what the county's decision was to accept it. Is that fair? Do you think that would be how it plays?
Yeah. You know, someone could also just take the legal route, although I think before someone takes the legal route, they're supposed to exhaust all administrative remedies, which would mean it would need to go to the Coastal Commission. But then again, I am not an attorney. I had two brothers that were, but it skipped my gene.
Yeah, well, you skipped you and gene. Okay, I heard that.
Actually, my brother gene is an attorney, but yeah.
Oh, well, okay. Whoops. All right, well, hang in there. Have fun. Hopefully decorum will reign, and you won't have to use the magic button.
That sounds good.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Thanks for coming by. See everybody tomorrow.